Welcome to Local Talk on KHOI Community Radio, where we explore people, stories, and events in central Iowa. I am Pat Schlarbaum. I'm with co-host Ann Kinzel, who is joining us from her home via Zoom in our ongoing special COVID-19 response local coverage. We're forging ahead together into the great unknown. Hello, Ann.
Hey, Pat. Yeah. Well, since March 17th, when Iowa Governor Kim Reynolds announced a public health disaster, Iowans, like the entire world, have been engaged in adaptations to this growing worldwide crisis and pandemic. Today, using technology called Zoom and our computers, we'll be joined by Senator Annette Sweeney from Iowa's District 25. A quick update with the Decorah Eagles will follow. Susan Guiazza, City of Ames Public Relations Officer, with Andrea Cardenas, and Anna Banana with her special heart-to-heart messages from KHOI. Because after all, we are the heart of Iowa.
And the weather forecast includes a high of 53 degrees with some sun today. So there will be reports of little gray mushrooms in the woods here in central Iowa. And all the spring ephemeral wildflowers will be carpeting the forest floor. And I hope you get to see some hepaticas today. There's rain in the forecast this weekend. So get out and enjoy spring. And here's Dennis Hart.
Thanks very much. As has been the case for quite some time now, much of the news on the pages of the Ames Tribune this past week had to do with the coronavirus. Let's take it in chronological order, starting with last Friday, when the Trib reported that school would not be in session and businesses would remain closed until at least the end of the month. This, the result of directives by Iowa Governor Kim Reynolds, made in an effort to slow the spread of the virus. She also extended the suspension of non-elective surgical procedures and limited gatherings to 10 people or less through April 30th. Also Friday, word that local medical officials were praising the governor's proclamation granting emergency licensing to nursing graduates. The Iowa Board of Nursing now has the authority to issue emergency licenses to nurses who have not yet obtained their initial licenses, as long as they've finished their education requirements. Last Friday's paper also reported that Iowa State University Extension and Outreach would be offering a 7-week virtual series that focuses on helping couples get through the coronavirus outbreak. The idea is that couples may need help because they are now finding themselves with too much time together. Anyone can join the webinar on Zoom. It began this past Wednesday, and it runs from 12:30 to 1 o'clock. And there was a story about the beautiful artwork created by three young Ames residents on the eastern sidewalk in the 500 block of Carroll Avenue. The three youngsters were just trying to find something to do while school is not in session, so they got a lot of chalk and made a lot of designs on that sidewalk. It was their effort to make people smile during this time of uncertainty. Saturday's paper brought word that a fifth person in Story County had been confirmed to have the coronavirus. The patient was said to be between the ages of 18 and 40. Details about how the patient had been exposed to the virus were not made public because of federal laws prohibiting such disclosures. Also Saturday, word that playgrounds at schools and in city parks in Ames would be closed in an effort to slow the spread of the coronavirus. Parks and Recreation Director Keith Abraham said officials started noticing people congregating in groups of more than 10 and not practicing social distancing. There was also a report that the number of calls received by law enforcement agencies throughout Story County had fallen since the coronavirus pandemic struck Iowa. The Ames Police Department said calls had gone down nearly 50% during the last 2 weeks in March compared to prior months. During that same period, the Story County Sheriff's Office responded to 245 fewer incidents or traffic stops compared to a year ago. Spokesmen for both agencies said the numbers are down because it appears more people are staying home and staying out of trouble. And one more note from Saturday, word that the Overflow Thrift Store, a local nonprofit that recycles and sells affordable goods, is getting set to open its second location in Ames. The new site will be on Kitty Hawk Drive near Lowe's. When it's open, it primarily will accept and sell large furniture and housewares. Sunday's paper brought word that the Ames hospitality market had been hit, and hit hard, by the coronavirus outbreak. The president and CEO of the Ames Convention and Visitors Bureau said, in his words, hotels are really suffering right now. Kevin Burke said that Ames hotels combined were down more than $1 million in revenue in just 3 weeks. Last year, overnight visitors to Ames poured $114 million into the local economy, $36 million of it coming from lodging. Ames has about 12% of the hospitality industry in the state of Iowa, with about 1,600 hotel rooms in the city. Before the coronavirus started spreading, Ames and the state of Iowa had one of the lowest jobless rates in the nation. The state's rate in February was 2.8%. But Iowa State University economist Peter Arazem told the Tribune that with all the jobless claims filed in the state in recent days, he estimated the state's rate is now 9%. Also Sunday, word that the Ames School District had announced plans to create a hybrid learning model combining both voluntary options for pre-kindergarten through 8th grade students as well as a required learning option for Ames High students. The new model will begin this coming Monday, April 13th. Iowa Governor Kim Reynolds has ordered schools around the state to stay closed at least until the end of the month. There was also word that, in the wake of the coronavirus spread, Iowa State University's Insect Zoo in the Department of Entomology, which normally travels to more than 300 events a year, had hit the internet to deliver its educational features. The zoo is releasing 3 videos a week, and those videos are showing insects that normally never would have been taken on the road. Those videos are on YouTube. One more note from Sunday, a story about an act of kindness in Ames. About 30 tenants in an apartment complex in the 700 block of Clark Avenue and tenants living in several other buildings around town found an envelope in their mailboxes last week. Inside was a $25 gift card to Hy-Vee and a note that said, "We are all in this. Please take care and know that we are always just a phone call away." It was signed by apartment owners Tom and Amy Cornea. Tuesday's trip brought word that Iowa Governor Kim Reynolds had ordered more closures around the state in an effort to stop the spread of the coronavirus. Starting this past Tuesday, malls, bingo halls, bowling alleys, museums, outdoor or indoor playgrounds, campgrounds, and other sites were closed at least through April 30th. Here in Ames, North Grand Mall had already been closed for 2 weeks, but 2 restaurants inside were still open for pickup and carryout, and a few other businesses were open because they were considered essential businesses. The city of Ames has closed playgrounds at city parks and school sites, and area campgrounds were closed weeks ago. Also Tuesday, word that Mary Greeley Medical Center in Ames had restricted visitors to its facility. Those restrictions prohibit visitors under the age of 18 and allow only 2 visitors per patient. All staff and visitors entering the hospital are being screened for the coronavirus. Elective surgeries have been canceled, as have classes inside the hospital. There was more Tuesday, including word that YSS in Ames had gone virtual, offering telehealth counseling services in an effort to meet community needs during the virus pandemic. YSS is headquartered in Ames and has other locations in Boone, Marshalltown, Des Moines, Mason City, and Webster City. It offers its services, including psychiatric consultation, behavioral health intervention, and substance abuse counseling to individuals and families throughout the state. And Tuesday's paper also reported that Ames police were taking an unusual step to help reassure the youngest members of the community in this time of uncertainty. Officers are reading storybooks online. The Ames Public Library is doing the same thing. Wednesday's trip brought word that a 6th case of the coronavirus had been confirmed in Story County. The infected individual was said to be between 41 and 60 years old. Any details about how that person was infected will not be released because of federal privacy laws. There was also word Wednesday that local law enforcement officers were on the lookout for gatherings of more than 10 people after directives made earlier in the week by Iowa Governor Kim Reynolds. Officials from several Story County law enforcement agencies said they first would educate those violating the ban on gatherings of more than 10 people, but if necessary, would cite them. Violating the ban could mean 30 days in jail and a fine of $625. Wednesday's paper also reported that the Ames School District was getting set to let elementary students check out Chromebooks starting yesterday. It's an effort to support families during the extended statewide closure of schools. Both middle school and high school students in Ames already have Chromebooks. And on Wednesday, word that the Story County Board of Supervisors had decided that non-essential county employees who had been placed on administrative leave would not be able to return to work until May 1st at the earliest. The board also moved to delay the start date for newly hired non-essential county employees until the middle of May. And the county announced it would extend the closure of county facilities to the general public through May 1st. Yesterday's paper, Thursday's, reported that Ames police had been overwhelmed by complaints of people who were violating the governor's social distancing order on Tuesday. A few of the calls required officers to break up large groups and educate them about the need for social distancing. One of those groups was playing volleyball on Ash Avenue in Campustown. Playgrounds around the city are shut down, as is the skate park across from Brookside Park, but many activities, including picnics, walks, or runs are still allowed. Also yesterday, word that Food at First is continuing to feed the Ames community during the coronavirus outbreak, but it needs help. It's serving about 75 meals a day, which are now prepackaged and must be picked up in the parking lot of the First Christian Church on Clark Avenue in Ames. But the food is running low, and so food donations, or donations of money to buy it, are being accepted. There was also a report that people who use the Heart of Iowa Regional Transit Agency, or HRTA, would be allowed to ride the bus free until April 30th. HRTA serves Story, Boone, Dallas, Jasper, Madison, Marion, and Warren counties. It offers by-appointment, door-to-door service. There was also word that Boone County's Emergency Management Agency is seeking donations for such things as face masks, face shields, and isolation gowns, all needed to help slow the spread of the coronavirus. And finally, yesterday's paper reported that for the first time in the history of Ames, next Tuesday's meeting of the City Council will be conducted by video conferencing because of social distancing guidelines during the coronavirus outbreak. City Hall is closed until at least May 15th. And that, my friends, is your summary of another week of consequential news from the pages of the Ames Tribune. I'm Dennis Hart. I'm planning to return on Monday with word on all that's been happening around the state this past week. In the meantime, I'm trying to keep myself healthy and safe, and I hope you will as well.
There is no doubt that the lighthouse will keep shining out to warn the lonely sailor. The lightning strikes and the wind cuts cold through the sailor's bones to the sailor's soul, till there's nothing left that he can hold except the rolling ocean. And I am ready for the storm. Yes, sir, ready. I am ready for the storm. Ready for the storm.
Thank you, Dennis Hart, with your weekly wrap-up of the news gleaned from the Ames Tribune and a music interlude from the Dougie McLean Collection, Ready for the Storm. And now we join Senator Annette Sweeney from Senate District 25, which includes parts of Story, Hardin, Butler, and Grundy counties.
Senator Sweeney, good morning.
Good morning, everybody.
Thank you for joining us on KHOI.
So yes, I'm excited to visit with you this morning.
Good. We've been hosting a number of senators and representatives with the help of Representative Ross Wilburn, and we're glad to have you as our guest today. So my first question is, where are we with the legislative session? What's the situation vis-a-vis postponement?
Right now, we're on suspended, and we're kind of in a holding pattern. We're trying to see what this pandemic evolves into, whether we're starting to flatten the curve or the curve might go up. Senator Whitfer, very insightful, when he decided in March that we would suspend session right away on that Monday, on March 12th, and it was kind of interesting. First, we got calls over the weekend saying, okay, this is funnel week. We're going to try to get through everything, make sure your committees are ready to go with the bills. And I had great conversations with across the aisles to make sure that we had everything ready to go. We were told we were going to suspend then on Wednesday. And then as fast as the pandemic was evolving, we suspended on Monday night.
When you say suspended, can you tell us a little bit about, you know, what that means? What happens while you're suspended? Are you still working as a senator?
Yes, I am. And in fact, today I get to visit with you, and then I have calls will take up most of the morning. I'm also still working on bills that when we come back to Des Moines to finish up the business of the Capitol, that we'll have bills all ready to go, priority bills that will affect, you know, our citizens and also the economics of the state.
Are there any bills that you view as a real priority moving forward when you come back into session?
I had sat down with my ranking member, which is the other party's person that is the leader of human resources, and she and I, Liz Mathis, sat down together, and we decided there were 12 bills that we would like to see passed out of our human resources committee. And then also the rest of the committee members. and we all prioritized, and so we're ready with those 12 bills.
Can you tell us anything about those bills?
The bills that we have are dealing with the mental health systems, child care, individuals, and different types of the law that can be working positive in a constantly changing environment for the health and human services and human resources within our state.
Now, given that we're in a severe public health crisis, are there any bills that you anticipate that would help the Department of Public Health moving forward?
I think right now I don't want to assume anything, and in fact I have a conference call on Monday to address that exact question. I want to make sure that, you know, we're talking about our critical health hospitals. We're also looking at the regions now in which we have where the different parts of the state, you know, go for their, like if by chance, just heaven forbid, that they would get COVID-19, what hospitals they would attend. So I think that with this evolving that's happening, some of these bills are going to be probably looked at, and maybe that when we decide what we want to do with those, it's constantly changing.
It's certainly a very, very complex situation. One thing that comes to mind is that, you know, we've been told that in a year to 18 months, we can anticipate that a vaccine would be available. Do you know of any planning in Iowa on how that vaccination, should it become available, would be carried out?
We have not visited with that. And a lot of times you have to be very careful when you say, oh, yes, this is going to happen, this is going to happen. And you have individuals that are very emotional about a particular issue, and sometimes people come to the wrong conclusion. So until I hear conclusively what, you know, a vaccination would mean, or, you know, other things that we could do to avoid this virus again. But we have scientists working on that in the federal level, and I'm sure the worldwide level. So I don't want to second guess their study.
Oh, absolutely. No, I was thinking in terms of a vaccination campaign when that comes about. Like, you know, in the 1950s, we hear a lot about the polio vaccination campaign.
Oh, yes, I remember that. And I also remember the red measles campaign. We've pretty much eradicated red measles here in the state. I had the red measles when I was a little girl, and it caused for me to have allergies. So I had the red measles. 3 months later, the vaccine came out, and I constantly heard from my father when I was outside, you know, trying to help him and sneezing and reacting to the different types of grains and hay things here on our farm. He just said, it's too bad they didn't come out with that vaccine sooner.
Okay. So one of the things we've been talking about, and I know Pat is very interested in, is this the governor's Invest in Iowa legislation. Can you tell us how the pandemic and all the work that's going into that has affected that initiative?
We first had the first hearing on it on March the 5th. So things were moving forward at a very good pace. And then with suspending session on March the 12th, it's kind of put that on hold. And we also have to look at the finances, how that affected the state of Iowa, because we're very lucky that our rainy days funds were full, our trust fund for unemployment was full. And so then how would Invest in Iowa, and to be able to relieve tax burden, increase our water quality funding, and also our mental health funding, how we can do that in light of all the special things that we had to do because of this pandemic.
Many people look to the governor and the government to provide leadership in a crisis like this. What do you look to, Sandra?
When crisis like this happens, I look at the individuals that are the professionals. We are very fortunate that we have Dr. Padotti. She, in fact, was a guest speaker at my committee meeting the first part of March to talk about the COVID-19 virus. And she gave that committee some background on that. So we were very lucky that when everybody went home, they could speak to what we learned in committee. And so I look forward to the professionals that are in this war against this virus, that their direction, they always welcome questions that we have so we can pass that on to our constituents. So that's how we work it. We look at the professionals within our system, and then the questions that we have, and I have a number of constituents that have been calling me, then I will call the Iowa Department of Public Health and get a firm answer to what, how they can answer that, and then I'll call my constituents back.
So what kind of questions are you hearing from your constituents?
Oh, for the masks, you know, the homemade masks. That has been the most phone calls and the most personal messages and things that I've gotten even on emails. How do I make the homemade mask? And so I called the Department of Public Health, and then they got it together where they had a pattern to make those masks, and also that Unity Point had a way that they want the mask to be made, and then another group wants the mask that if they take them to their hospital, they want to be made. So I sent that to the constituents, and I also posted on Facebook, and I also sent it out in an email. So, but that seriously has been the biggest one.
The mask thing is interesting. I wore my first mask in public yesterday to make my weekly grocery run, and It is definitely a different feeling, both pro and con. It feels somewhat isolating, but somewhat safe as well. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, traveling that I have done the last couple of years, I always look at these individuals that have been wearing masks. I would think, oh, that's too bad that they have a health condition, that they have to wear that mask, that they do not want to catch a particular virus or a bacterial infection, whatever it might be. And now we are at that point. And we are protecting ourselves, protecting our fellow citizens, also by wearing the mask, so we make sure that we don't pass it on if by chance that we are infected with the COVID.
Well, those are wise words from Senator Annette Sweeney. Senator, we're going to wrap up this morning. Do you have any closing words for our listeners?
Go back to what our first grade teachers taught us. Make sure you wash your hands and limit your time out, you know, within, you know, towns and cities, et cetera. We can flatten that curve with this pandemic. And I am very, very blessed that my nearest neighbor is a half a mile away. And so when I go out with my husband and help him do chores in the morning, I get to go out, and I know how very lucky I am. And the individuals that do not have that luxury, please do not lose heart. Find other activities that can keep your mind going, and please be healthy and safe.
Well, thank you, Senator Sweeney, and we wish you the best as we continue our confinements.
Thank you.
Thank you, Senator Sweeney. This is Pat Schlarbaum with KHOI.
Yes.
And thank you so much for your service at this time. And and we can make it through this together.
Thanks
again.
Yes, we can. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Mike, let's queue up a short update on the Decorah Eagles. From John Howe, the director of the Raptor Resource Project. The female eagle has been sharing incubation of three eggs for the last 35 days or so. So here's John Howe. How are you today, John?
Good, good, Pat.
Are you live streaming your Decorah bald eagles?
We sure are, yeah. And boy, I tell you what, it was a really exciting day yesterday. I'm still just taking a look at some of the videos and the photos of our third eaglet that just hatched yesterday. It would have been D36.
D36. Now, that's in reference to Decorah, and 36 young have hatched at that famous site. So this year, three eggs laid, three eggs hatched. And what was about the hatching of the first two eggs that was so unique?
So that's a really great question and observation. We haven't seen two eggs hatch in the same day at this nest since we've been watching, which is quite a big event. And it's interesting what happens with raptors. When that first egg is laid, there's usually a lot of worry going on because the female eagle or male eagle won't necessarily sit and start incubation right away. There was about 3 days in between each egg being laid, almost exactly. So with the biology of an eaglet developing inside that egg, you'd think that process is pretty, it's got to take a certain amount of time for that development to occur. It's not like somebody's going to give them some extra vitamins and one of them is going to come out of there earlier than the others. So it's really pretty a cut and dried thing. So to have two eaglets hatching within 24 hours of each other, that question comes up. Why does that happen? How can that happen? And probably one of the biggest factors is when that full incubation starts. But what happened was the eggs did hatch within about 24 hours of each other. We had one hatch in progress, and it was almost complete for D34. And then we noticed that there was a hatch in progress on one of the other eggs for 35. So pretty amazing.
Yeah. And you're noticing this hatching. What does the egg look like when you're realizing that a hatching is occurring?
Yeah, it's really always neat to watch. We go from that eaglet inside the egg, kind of rotating around the head to that larger round size side of the egg, and eagle eggs are very strong. It's easier for them to push out from the inside than it is. Those eggs are protected and very strong from the outside. So they're starting to push with that egg tooth from the inside of the egg, and they start what we call starring, and actually that's what it looks like. You see a little star-shaped pattern of cracks and maybe a piece of the eggshell starting to get out of round and push out from the geometry of the rounded egg. And then a piece or two of that eggshell falls away, and that egg tooth is pushing through, and that little eaglet will just continue to do that until that whole inner part of that egg is scored around from head movement and that sharp egg tooth. And then just pushing and stretching from the inside, that eagle will break that eggshell open and emerge. It's a really amazing thing to see.
Oh, and so you describe an egg tooth. Is that a modification of the beak?
It's right on the front part of the beak. It's on the, it'd be like probably the closest thing to envision would be on the eagle's beak, like not at the very sharp tip of the beak, but about halfway up towards the nair area. There's a little angular, light-colored spot. It's called the egg tooth, and that does kind of wear away after time, after the eaglet is hatched and is developing. But that sharp egg tooth, little pronounced spot of the, and you can see it on the eaglets right now. If you look, they're young enough that you can see it. That's what helps it actually break inside to the outside world in that egg, is that little sharp tooth pronunciation on their beak.
Well, it certainly is a fascinating world. Tuesday, the hatch day, and then the next day was quite astounding. Everywhere I looked was fish.
It was. You're right. The male, we call it stocking the fridge. It seems like when that first hatch happens, something gets triggered, and the male goes on a prey scrounging mission. And it was like a mission. It was pretty amazing. We're right next to the fish hatchery there, and he proceeded, I think that day, it was a total of about 9 fish that he brought in, and the majority of them were in like a 5 to 10 minute period. It was pretty amazing to see. It's just one after the other after the other.
Yeah, he was compelled to be a good provider.
Yeah, and, you know, we've learned so much about watching these eagles. I noticed it's interesting. Just the other day I saw with all those fish kind of laying there, and also squirrel and rabbit, I believe, have come up already this year, too. The eagle parents will start basically covering up and camouflaging the food in the nest by putting grasses and other material over it and kind of covering it up. It's really interesting to see that happen, but there's so much food in that nest right now. They got a lot to pick from, and they're actually starting to disguise it a little bit so other birds that are flying over, you know, don't see that and attract their attention.
Well, tell us about the third hatching then last evening. Would have been a Wednesday evening.
Yeah, so we were waiting on the third egg, and a little bit different spread there. Obviously, it took longer for this third egg to hatch, big separation between the first two that were about 24 hours apart. But we got really amazing video coverage of this third hatch at Decorah. D36 is our eaglet there. But that eaglet was pushing through. You could see that there was a hole in the egg that was forming, and then later that whole scoring of the egg and breaking it in half happened, and you could really literally see the eaglet stretching out and pushing that those two halves of the eggshell apart and then emerging. And it is amazing to see that eaglet come out for the first time. Those little downy feathers that will dry and are so cute to see. I guess cute's the word that a lot of people would use.
Yeah.
Fluffy little fluff downy balls. Heads, right?
Yeah.
That's all wet, and the eaglet is just laying there, and it really looks naked, just kind of out into the world for the first time.
Yeah, well, it's you're really sharing some wondrous images with the world. I can recall that Bob Anderson that was so proud of the Decor Eagles and the effect it was having on people, kind of like our COVID-19 sequestration. Currently, people in nursing homes, I think the quote was, "Bob, it gives me a reason to get up in the morning to go and see your Decora Eagles."
Yeah, there's something about getting connected and starting to watch and then wanting to know what happens. It is very rewarding to hear, you know, in letters that people send in and like what Bob mentioned, just people, their testimonials talking about how that is really, you know, a big part of their day, what they look forward to getting up and seeing, you know, in the morning, or you know, people who are in the hospital or people who are in a nursing home or dealing with some kind of challenge and they're bedridden and they can't get out into nature like they used to. That connection and being able to see the beauty of bald eagles and seeing them go through their life cycle is something that so many people cherish and appreciate. The other thing that you mentioned too is it's really pretty good timing. I guess I call it the cameras are basically my news from nature and way to really kind of get out there and see what's going on. And being in the home and being kind of cooped up at home with the orders to stay at home because of the coronavirus right now, it's a really great opportunity to watch and see what's going on. And happen to have launched a education connection on our website at raptorresource.org. There's lesson plans that teachers that have watched these cameras and shared them with their classrooms, a couple that are retired now and have been doing it for almost a decade, and then a couple current practicing teachers that are really the experts in using that live cam and material to teach the kids and really engage them. It's something that the kids look forward to seeing, and they're doing all kinds of stuff with that. But we've got a really neat interface of lesson plans that both parents and teachers, whether they're teaching from home or, you know, someday back in the classroom, all the different components of the life cycle of the eagles with different lesson plans that teachers can use. Pretty neat.
Pretty neat is right. This is an unfolding story. It's so nice to have three chicks. Once again, we'll keep our fingers crossed for another successful fledging. So we're looking at maybe as many as 11 weeks from now.
Right.
When these young hatchlings will be fully developed and ready for their first flight. It's going to be another wonderful year with the Decora Eagles. And thank you, John Howe, with the Decora Raptor Resource Project.
Thanks, Pat. Thanks for inviting me onto the show.
Yeah. Yeah. Long may they fly.
Yes. Long may they fly.
That was John Howe, the director of the Raptor Resource Project, talking about his famous Decora Eagles with another installment of their News from Nature. And you're listening to Local Talk on KHY Community Radio at 89.1 FM, Story City Ames, with host Ann Kinzel, and I'm Pat Schlarbaum.
Well, let's hear from Susan Guiazza, Public Relations Officer with the City of Ames, and her guest, Andrea Cardenas, Health Promotion Coordinator with Ames Human Resources. Susan, we're going to change it up a little bit this morning, and if you have any announcements you want to make, we'd like you to start off with that.
Well, it'd just be the basic reminders. Again, we're getting a lot of questions about the governor's directive and what is closed and not closed in Ames. So a reminder is that playgrounds are closed in parks and at schools, but the rest of the park facilities are able to be used. The trails are open and the green space is available. And then also the skate park is closed. Now, to express your concerns, again, we'll remind you there is a city hotline, 239-5670. You can report concerns you have. Also, there is a email address specific to city reporting regarding COVID-19 concerns or questions. That's COVID-19@cityofames.org. Those were the updates, and we are getting questions that are coming in daily, and we're happy to answer those questions. So keep them coming, and we'll continue to keep people updated on the situation as it changes from day to day.
Thank you, Susan. Well, Andrea, you must find it heartwarming that the green spaces are still open as you're the health promotion coordinator for the City of Ames.
Yeah, so my role with the City of Ames is that I run employee wellness programs, and given that so many gyms and places are closed right now, it's great that at least we have some green space that people can get outside when the weather is nice.
So tell us what you're doing to help city employees and others around you stay healthy during the pandemic.
You know, it's kind of evolved as time has gone on. We've learned a lot more about the virus and how you can get sick over time. We started out by sending out kits to departments that had information about, general things like washing your hands, cleaning frequently touched surfaces, staying, a distance from your coworkers, social distancing and those sorts of things. And they included like Clorox wipes, things that people would need. Then I went around to a lot of departments and met in person just to talk to people about, what we know from reliable sources. So CDC, World Health Organization, Iowa Department of Public Health, what the recommendations are, what are the facts. A lot of our employees are really service focused, and it's important, we know that if we are not healthy, that we can't do our job. And some of that's a little bit invisible at times. You don't always think about power until the lights can't turn on. You don't always think about water until you turn on the faucet and it doesn't come out. But, we take our job seriously and really want to make sure that we are staying healthy so that we can continue to service the systems and teams.
Now, you said you started out by going out and meeting with people and sharing initial facts. What kind of new things have you learned now that, this has been going on for some time in terms of confinement? And, of course, we've learned a lot since this first came out in the Far East in the beginning of the year.
Yeah, I think at first people weren't always taking it seriously. They didn't think it was going to be a big deal. They didn't think it was going to come to Iowa. Some of the early conversations were, this is real. Here's what we need to do to protect ourselves. And that time it hadn't been in community spread in Iowa. And then over time we've learned things like, I think the biggest one is the masks. For a while I was telling people, don't wear masks, you don't need them. And then just recently the recommendations from the CDC changed over this last weekend, and they're recommending that in public spaces and when you can't social distance, that people should wear those cloth masks. So that was a really big change. And I think that's part of what can make it a little confusing for people is that they're hearing recommendations from one place and then that information changes. And it can be difficult to keep up and know what's right and what's not.
So where are employees with the City of Ames in terms of wearing masks?
So we don't have a very easy way to get masks. So we're in the process right now of getting materials, and city employees are working on sewing the masks that we can hand out to departments. As far as the N95 masks, we do have some of those for our first responders, and we're able to get those. But as far as the cloth masks, it's very difficult. You can't buy masks anymore. And so we're just working on putting them together and making them so that we can keep our workforce healthy.
One of our first interviews was John Dunn from the Water Department, who described how important it was for him to have a group of employees who were always healthy to be able to run the vital water department. How are you helping managers and others make sure that our essential employees are able to perform?
A big thing is just making sure they have information and materials that they need to be effective. So, part of that's procuring disinfectant so they can keep the workplace safe, talking through strategies like how do you schedule your shift so that you can reduce interaction between employees. Early on, it was even when I would go out and meet with departments, it was modeling that social distancing. You know, at first, it's very difficult to remember that you've got to stand 6 feet away from the person next to you. And sometimes it's easy to get comfortable with people that you work with and get a little bit closer. But you know, ultimately, the people you spend the most time with and the longer you're with them, you can potentially get sick from them. Because we now know that about 25% of people that have the COVID-19 illness can be contagious several days before they start to feel symptoms. And so that social distancing is even more important than when we originally started.
Yeah, and it looks like the CDC is also talking about people who are stay asymptomatic. In other words, they do seroconvert to the disease, but never will become symptomatic, yet can infect others.
Yes, that's correct. And so even if someone doesn't feel sick, they can potentially make others sick, and they don't know it, of course. And so that's really that reason that it's so important to maintain that distance.
And wear that mask, in essence.
Right. And wear the mask, especially in cases where you can't keep that social distance.
Now, one of the things we talk a lot about is the physical health side of this. This is a disease. It comes from a virus. But we are social creatures, and we are more than just the sum total of our physical being. What things are you doing to help employees cope with sort of psychosocial or mental health issues as this unfolds?
Yeah, so we've started to shift away from some of those conversations about the facts about the virus and the illness. I think more people have heard about that to the point where it's not as necessary to continue to educate on that topic. So we've really shifted to talking more about stress management, even just sharing facts and information. There's a lot of great organizations in Ames and then in community that can serve people if they're struggling with anxiety or depression related to COVID-19. We have an employee assistance program, so we've been promoting that to employees. Just as a reminder that they and people in their households can take advantage of that free resource. They can chat or talk to a therapist over the phone. And then also just conversations about, you know, what can you do to help yourself? Some of that's self-care, whether that's getting some time to yourself. So, you know, it takes energy to be able to respond in a situation, so you've got to replenish that energy somehow. So maybe it's making sure that you're getting regular sleep, practicing mindfulness or meditation techniques, spending time with loved ones or close proximity if they live in your household, or by, you know, FaceTime or something like that. And just encouraging people to take care of themselves, take that time. And even if it's just one thing that they do that can really help them feel better, it's going to help them do a better job.
Self-care is such a broad term. I assume that also can mean being physically active as well as mentally active.
Definitely. So there's a saying that motion affects emotion. And exercise can just be a really great way for you to, first of all, burn off some of those stress hormones. So some of that effect that it has on the body. Exercise is a great way to release that. Also just getting out in nature, like we talked earlier about people still being able to go outside and use the walking paths. You know, that's a great way to help you relieve stress and get exercise in. I think the big thing right now is usually people tell me they don't have time to exercise. And that's the main barrier, right? So, you know, now we're hearing it's more motivation and people just are completely out of their normal routines. And so we're having to relearn how to do that in this new environment. So just trying to get creative, encourage people to take advantage of online resources. I saw something really funny the other day on social media. I don't know if you've seen it, but Ellen is starting to do a challenge where you plank, and while you're planking, you sing a song, and then you videotape yourself, and then you send it to 3 people and challenge them to do the same. So just trying to get creative and encouraging people to find fun ways to build activity into their day.
Okay, Ames, you've heard it. There's no excuse that you don't have the time to exercise these days. One good resource that the city has is the Ames Parks and Rec Department has online activities for people. What do you think about that?
Yeah, so Nancy Shaw, our public wellness person, has been offering a lot of the Parks and Rec classes via Zoom. So it's another great opportunity to take advantage of that. You don't have to pay for it. It's something anybody in the community can take advantage of. The just need to go to the Parks and Rec website to find out information about how to log into that Zoom and then what the code is.
Well, I'll confess, I Zoomed in the privacy of my my dining room, and given my dance moves, it wasn't a bad thing.
Yeah.
So, Andrea Cardenas, self-promotion coordinator with the City of Ames, what can you tell us in closing that would you think can help people keep up their spirits and good health as we move forward?
I think just looking for opportunities to do something that makes you feel good, and just practicing kindness. You know, we're all trying to figure this out, and just remember, everybody's trying to do their best. So try to approach every situation that way. And just give everybody the benefit of the doubt.
Well, Andrea, thank you for those words of wisdom and for being our guest today.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you, Andrea. I certainly appreciate the creative ways that you're promoting to improve our physical and mental health. And thank you, Susan Guiasta, Public Relations Officer for the City of Ames. Thanks for coordinating speakers for next week.
Thank you.
Yeah, thanks so much. So we are enjoying Local Talk, and I'm Pat Schlarban with Ann Kinzel and Anna Banana. Are you with us, Ann Magnuson?
It is. It's Anna Banana with KHOI's heart-to-heart messages to connect you to love, comfort, and your community. And Pat, I think that the Raptor Resource Project and the Decorah Eagles would like what I would pick as today's segment of heart-to-heart messages theme song, which the lyrics by On Eagle's Wings by Michael Jonas. So we will raise you up on eagle's wings. So let's get started. I'm honored to start our heart-to-heart segment from Dr. Douglas Gentile, who is a founding member of KHOI. Thank you for having such a special role with the station. And Dr. Gentile, who is also a psychology professor at Iowa State and a Zen Buddhist monk, who provides this thought-provoking message during this time of COVID-19. He shares with us, "These are anxious times. How can we learn to work with our new situations and heightened anxiety? Well, one way is to shift our understanding to a larger view, not simply our own limited personal viewpoint. When times are difficult, we often spend our energy obsessing over the past or worrying about the future. Both of these rabbits have energy and agency, which makes us more anxious. Things are as they are because of all the millions of past decisions, causes, and conditions. That means there's no possible way for things to be different than they are at this moment. Another way of saying that is that everything is therefore perfect in this moment. Now, you may not be enjoying this moment. There may be still injustice and real problems. But there is no way for things to be different than they are at this moment. And once we recognize this, we can stop fighting what is, and then we can regain our power and agency. We stop wasting our energy, fighting the past, and worrying about the future. And we can now use that energy to make a difference right now. Because everything is interconnected, one little difference right now becomes one of the causes and conditions for a different future. You can change the world once you stop fighting it. So thank you, Dr. Gentile, for sharing your wisdom with us today. Your heart-to-heart message gave me a lot to think about. And speaking of a lot to think about, KHOI received several emailed heart-to-heart messages, and I think inspired by the upcoming Easter holiday. I've heard from so many of you who are saddened and disappointed with not having Sunday family gatherings, Easter egg hunts, church services this year. But remember yesterday when I called COVID-19 the Grinch who stole Christmas? Well, COVID-19, that mean old Grinch, will find out that Easter comes without dyed eggs, jelly beans, Cadbury eggs, peeps away, I'm getting hungry. Which maybe it's a good thing that the Easter Bunny will be indeed practicing social distancing as I need to cut back on sugar. But let's get back to the heart-to-heart messages, Anna Banana, shall we? Yes, indeed. So we received a heart-to-heart message from Leslie Grinder, who would like to recognize Nicole Smith, who serves as the Ames First United Methodist Church's Children, Family, and Intergenerational Ministries Coordinator. She writes, "Nicole has put so much love, care, and effort into developing age-appropriate fun and God-based church activities for children. Two of the best resources she shared with us were a series of YouTube videos for Easter week activities, and another was a book for children about the coronavirus by Dr. Christine Borst, which is available for all to read on www.christineborse.com. That's a B as in boy. So thank you, Nicole, for keeping us connected and your care for our kids and community from the Ginder family. Might be Ginder. I'm sorry if I mispronounced it. Funny enough, we're going to cross the street from where the Ames United First Methodist Church is located to pick up the next heart-to-heart message, which is from Reverend Eileen Gebbie, who has a cat named Lady Miss Martha P. Pierre, Esquire, and Incorporated, sole resident of Kitty Cat Junction, brought to you by the Science Cat Diet KD Formula. Phew! That is quite a name, and I can't repeat that again. So Pastor Eileen's cat has been attending a lot of Ames UCC meetings via Zoom, and amazingly helped with their email to send this heart-to-heart message out to you. Dearly beloved, life is hard, and our bodies vulnerable, but our souls have deep wells of grace and resilience, even in death. Call out for love and feel it already in your bones. Pastor Eileen and Miss Lady, Miss Longest Kitty name I've ever heard in my life, and wonder if she had her own YouTube channel, if it would go viral. And on the topic of going viral, Linda Hansen emailed KHOI a piece written by one of her seminary professors, Elizer Fernandez, that Linda says captures her thoughts perfectly. The piece is titled When Love Went Viral, which reads as follows. The commandment to embody love is both ancient and new. This commandment is all the more needed in moments of crisis, such as a global pandemic, when its power is challenged and contradictions abound. It is in the midst of these contradictions that the power of love should be all the more alive. Yes, the coronavirus has gone viral, but so has love. Yes, fear has gone viral, but so has courage. Yes, doubt has gone viral, but so has faith. Yes, despair has gone viral, but so has hope. So thank you, Linda, for sharing the love, which concludes our heart-to-heart segment perfectly. So thank you, Ms. Hansen, Dr. Pastor Gebbie, Ms. Ginder, and Dr. Gentile for these heart-to-heart messages that have expressed appreciation and admiration for those serving others, for making sure you take a pause however best suits you through meditation and caring for others. So all of us at KHOI hope that our heart-to-heart messages inspire you to connect to our community, and from the bottom of our hearts, we thank you for listening and send our love out to each of you.
Thank you so much, Anna Banana, for another welcome installment of KHOI Heart-to-Heart Messages. You're really getting it together, and I love your timely updates from your heart to ours. Local Talk Special COVID Response Program airs at 7 a.m., noon, and 5 p.m. on Fridays at KHOI 89.1 FM.
And remember that you can hear this program online at khoifm.org and links to the guests and information you heard during the program. Yes, KHOI is streaming live online at khoifm.org. This program is engineered by Mike Murphy. Thank you, Michael. And thank you, Senator Annette Sweeney, John Howe, Director of the Raptor Resource Project, Susan Guiazda, Public Relations Officer with the City of Ames, and Andrea Cardenas, City of Ames Health Promotion Coordinator, and always Anna Magnuson, a.k.a. Anna Banana, with her heart-to-heart messages. I've been your host this week with co-host Pat Schlarbaum.
Our theme song, as always, is Backtracking by Tom Richards and Al Harris from their CD, The Ballad of Kate Shelley. We also heard Ready for the Storm by Dougie McLean. Local Talk is a radio production workshop as well as this show. So if you would like to try your hand at reporting, we'll train you. Come on and join the Local Talk team.
Remember, you, the listener, are what makes KHOI meaningful and possible. Please support KHOI Radio, and thank you for listening. We'll see you on the radio.